Some of you might chuckle at this, but one of the greatest and probably most annoying traits of human beings is that we like to warn people. It's a thing we do as humans. We warn people all the time. And some of you can think of people that give you far too many warnings. Oh, don't eat at that restaurant. They're not very clean. Or now you be careful. The roads are icy. Or careful, that plate is really hot. Instead of just letting you figure things out for yourself. We're faithful to warn people about all kinds of things all the time. Allie's grandma, Grandma Dolly, as we affectionately called her. Her name was Dolores Owens. And she was a dear grandma to Allie and a dear grandma to me as well. But she was a woman who was faithful to warn you about everything, even when you didn't want to be warned, and even when you wanted her to stop warning you. And sometimes after she would finish warning you and realize that that maybe she had gone on slightly too long, she would say, "I just want to make sure my conscience is clear." Okay. And that's why we warn, right? We warn people because. We care. We don't want someone to burn their hand. We don't want someone to get in a car accident. We don't want someone to eat at a dirty restaurant. Proverbs has all sorts of warnings. Don't co-sign on a loan with someone. Don't be lazy, or you won't have when it's a time of have not. Don't walk with fools, or you'll become one. And today in Acts chapter 20 and verses 25 through 31, Paul is no exception to the rule of warning. Paul's a warner. In fact, he didn't cease to warn. You read through Paul's letters and you just see warning, warning, warning. Today we've reached part two of a three-part sermon through the remaining portion of Acts chapter 20. Paul is docked in a city called Miletus. It's on the continent of what was once called Asia Minor and is now modern-day Turkey. He's docked there with some traveling companions. He's only there for a few days. And he's called the elders, the pastors of a church in a city called Ephesus, which is about 30 miles north of Miletus, to come down and talk to him. It's a final farewell that he's going to give to this beloved church of Ephesus. And so he wants to impart to them wisdom and warning. Now, last week we looked at some wisdom that he imparted to them. It was live the low life. Lower yourself. Humble yourself. Live the low life if you're going to complete your course. But this week, it's a warning. The warning is not only for this church in Ephesus some 2,000 years ago, but it's for our church today. And the warning is simple. Watch out for wolves. Watch out for wolves. The title of the sermon this morning is A Final Farewell, Part 2. Wolves Within and Without. Would you look with me, please, at verse 25 of Acts chapter 20. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Paul begins verse 25, and we're picking up midway through his speech to these Ephesian elders with the words, "and now," "and now." Well, if you begin a sentence with "and now," then you're referring to something that you already said. And that's exactly what Paul is doing. Paul is referring to what he had just said, and what he had said was what he was going to do. He was going to continue on in the ministry, even in the face of trials. So, "and now" not only refers back to what you are going to do, but also now to what is going to happen in the future. "And now," and that's exactly what he's going to talk about in this passage. The "and now" of the future is what these Ephesian elders ought to do. He then uses the word "behold," "and now, behold." Behold is a word that we don't really use. I think if you tried to use that word with your family, they would say, what got into you? Maybe they're unwrapping a Christmas gift and you say, behold, right? What do you mean, behold? But that's kind of how it would be used. You're revealing something big, some big truth. And so that's what Paul is doing. He's revealing a big truth. Behold, is something important. This is a sad moment. This is a shocking moment because Paul says, behold, you won't ever see my face again. What a sad moment for Ephesus as that sinks in. I won't be back to the Ephesian church. My ministry is moving on. God has revealed this to Paul, and so this is a deeply personal statement. Look at what he says there in verse 25. He's gone about proclaiming the kingdom among them. 3 years he spent in Ephesus teaching the word of God. But the fact that he is leaving is the basis for what he's about to say. Now, if you've ever left someone for a trip, for a vacation, especially children, you might leave them with some warnings. You might say to your son, now you're the man of the house when I'm gone. And so you make sure that you take care of your mom and sisters or something to that effect. That's what's going on here today. Paul says, I'm not going to see you again. I'm not going to be back to Ephesus. This is where we part ways for good. And that is the reason he gives them a very grave warning. And what we're going to see in this passage is three ways that the Ephesian church can watch out for wolves. Verse 26. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. What does it mean to be innocent of blood? Well, it's the same thing that Grandma Dolly would say to us. No one can blame me when you get in trouble. I warned you. I told you so. Okay? I'm innocent of any bad thing that might happen to you. But in this case, why is Paul bringing up their death? I mean, they've just come to see him. And he says, I'm innocent of your blood. Well, something going to happen to us, Paul? Are we going to die? Is some great bodily harm going to come to us? Because that's usually what I think of when I think of blood. Why is Paul bringing up death? Who might die? The Ephesian Christians. The Ephesian Christians. Now, we'll get into how they might die in a few moments. But first, Paul explains why he's innocent of their blood. And it's for this reason. He warned. He says there in verse 27, we just read it, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Now, he makes this statement three times in this speech. We saw the first time last Lord's Day. He said, I didn't shrink from what was profitable. I didn't shrink from declaring what was profitable. And now here, he says, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Now this time, the phrase is slightly different. Last time it was, I didn't shrink from what was profitable. This time, I didn't shrink from the whole counsel of God. What does that mean? It means that Paul taught them everything. Everything that God had revealed, Paul taught them. There was no part of God's word that Paul skipped. There was no part of God's word that Paul skimped. So the first way to watch out for wolves, teach all the word of God. Teach all the word of God. So, Paul could rightly say, if a wolf leads you astray from something I taught you, It's not my fault. I am innocent of your blood because I taught the whole counsel of God to you. That's on you. Folks, if we're going to watch out for wolves in this church, we have to teach the whole counsel of God. We walked through Genesis cover to cover, verse by verse. We walked through Philemon. We walked through John. We're almost finished with Acts. We're going into 1 Corinthians. We're not going to skip a verse. We're not going to skip something uncomfortable. I remember growing up, I would ask my dad about other churches, and he would say, well, it's not like they teach heresy. But he said, sometimes it's not about what they say, but what they don't say, what they skip. Sometimes we want to skip the uncomfortable things. Why? Why? Why would we even think to skip something uncomfortable? Because it offends people. Because people don't want to hear the whole truth. Because people don't want to obey. They don't want to obey. And so churches have blood on their hands. And the wolves come in and take them. It is so important as a family that you choose a church that doesn't skimp, or your family will suffer and you will have blood on your hands. In February of 2020, our church received a phone call. All of the COVID restrictions had just dropped. Everyone was in a panic all over the world. No one knew what information was right or wrong, and everything was shut down. And we received a phone call from a lady. And she said, I don't even know why I called. She wasn't a Christian. I guess I'm scared. I just wanted to call a church and talk to someone, but I probably shouldn't have even called. I listened to her, asked her some questions about her beliefs and her background. And at one point she made the comment, you know, I just don't want to go to a church that's judgy or that judges you. Well, I like to give people fair warning. I want you to know what our church is like. And so I said to her, I said, well, listen, I would love for you to come to church, but I just want to let you know at our church, we preach the whole Bible and we preach on sin and we preach on hell. You know what her response was? Well, I hope you do. Why would I want to go to a church that doesn't preach the Bible? I was very shocked at that. From a self-professed, unbelieving woman. But when she was looking for the truth, she didn't want us to skimp. Some Sundays are uncomfortable here at Gospel Fellowship. Last week I made six, what I consider to be fairly simple statements, but you could hear a pin drop in the room when I said them. A woman should submit to her husband. And that doesn't demean a woman or diminish her worth. Catholic doctrine sends you to hell. Simple, very straightforward statements, and yet they're uncomfortable. Friends, let's not have blood on our hands. If we're going to watch out for wolves, we teach the whole of God's word. A couple of years ago, my daughter Eden got an infection right on her neck. It was quite serious. It was growing quite quickly, and we took her to the emergency room, and she got some antibiotics. And she didn't want to take that medicine. She hates medicine. And she almost wouldn't take it. Now listen, I could have just said, you know what, why would I force my daughter to do something she doesn't want to do? I should just, you know, just soften the edges and let her not take it, right? No, I said, well, you're taking it whether you like it or not. And you had to force the issue. Why? Because you want her to feel uncomfortable? No. I didn't like that she felt uncomfortable, but I liked the result of the medicine, and it worked. And friends, we don't say what's uncomfortable here just to be provocative, but because we're warning. We preach a life-saving word because the Bible is a life-saving word. And so the first way that you are going to watch out for wolves is to make sure that you will proclaim the whole counsel of God, the whole Bible, and that you and your family are in a place that proclaims the whole of the Bible. But there's a second way to watch out for wolves. Verse 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. You can see the second way to watch out for wolves here is to pay close attention. To pay close attention. But pay close attention to what? If you read that too quickly, you might think, pay close attention to the word of God, but that's not what it says. It says, pay close attention to yourselves and to all the flock. Pay close attention to you. Now, to whom is Paul speaking here? He's speaking to pastors. He's speaking to elders, and he says, pay close attention to yourselves, pastors. Watch out for you. Because, friends, pastors are susceptible to false teaching. Pastors are susceptible to wolves. And if someone leads the pastor astray, man, they've won. There are pastors right here in Abbotsford who believe in theistic evolution, that God used billions of years to make this earth, instead of what the Bible clearly teaches in Genesis 1. There are pastors in Abbotsford who go against the clear command of God in his word that women cannot be pastors. There are pastors here in Abbotsford who deny that the Bible is inerrant. They believe there could be errors in the Bible. And they're leading their churches in this error. Because pastors are susceptible to wolves. I sometimes see pastors fall, whether it's into doctrinal deviance or into sexual sin. And every time I see it, I think, who am I to stand up? Who am I to not be susceptible like they are? And it strikes a certain fear in my heart. I was warned when I was in Bible college, do not be alone with a woman who is not your wife. Listen to your wife if she says to watch out for a certain woman. Folks, I could be susceptible to false teaching. Every pastor can. We are not above it. And so Paul says, watch out for yourself. But he also says, and for all the flock. Watch out for others. He says, the Holy Spirit of God has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. There are two titles here. There's the title elder and there's the title overseer. Paul calls the elders and tells them that the elders have been made overseers of the church. Now, we believe that there are two offices in the church and only two offices, pastor and deacon. And so elder, pastor, and overseer, when you see those in the Word of God, are simply synonyms, or rather different parts of the same role. The office of pastor is an elder, is an overseer. There are two offices, and thus there are two sets of qualifications in Scripture for those offices. And so as an elder and an overseer and a pastor, I have the duty to care for this church, because God paid for this church with his blood. And so I steward what belongs to God. Now, friends, I have had some tough conversations over the years. Tough conversations with people in the church. I never envy those conversations. I do not have those conversations to lord authority over anyone. I could care less about lording authority. But what's my duty before God? To be a guardian of the church. To watch out for wolves. To pay careful attention to myself and to all the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made me an overseer. The church which he has purchased with his own blood. It is a tall order. But would this apply only to pastors, friends? Would you get out of this because you aren't one? No. You must all watch too. You must watch yourselves. You must watch out for your church family, because danger lurks. We read there in verse 29, if you look at it, that after Paul's departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. This is Paul's warning. As I told you, he will warn. He is faithful to warn. There are many warnings about false teachers in the Word of God. In young adults, we had studied through the entire letter of Jude very slowly, talked about every centimeter of the book. In nearly every letter that Paul wrote, he was combating wolves in the church. In nearly every letter, wolves had come in. Fierce, not sparing the flock. They come into churches to kill. That is the death, by the way, that Paul's referring to when he says, I am innocent of your blood. Not a physical one, but a spiritual death. Fierce wolves come into churches to kill. That's the warning. And I'm warning you about it now so that I am innocent of your blood. But notice in verse 29, he says that fierce wolves will come in among you. But then in verse 30, he says, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things. So pay attention, pay close attention. Friends, it's going to happen in this church if it hasn't already. What is the goal of these false teachers? Verse 29, or rather verse 30, tells us. What is the goal of a false teacher? Why would they come into a church, or why would they arise within a church? The goal, friend, is themselves. That's their goal. To draw away the disciples after them. That's what it says at the end of verse 30. Jude told us what this would look like. Jude gave us this whole wonderful list of how to spot a wolf, how to spot a false teacher. You know, one of the things that wolves will use is flattery. Now listen, if someone flatters you after the service, don't immediately assume that they're a wolf, okay? You kind of have to take all of these things together, all right? Someone tells you, you know, you look nice today, okay, don't point at them and call them a wolf. But flattery is one of the things that wolves will use. Another one is that they despise authority. They despise authority. And so a wolf might not only flatter you, but also might speak disparagingly about the leadership in the church. That is a red flag that Jude gives us. A wolf will offer you doctrine that's off. doctrine that's off. A wolf will be, as Jude says, and I'm going to use this word because you understand it, cliquish. A wolf will be cliquish. Want to bring you off into another group with either just them or a select group of people. A wolf will be secretive. They will not reveal everything that they're doing to the leadership. Jude says that a wolf will be sensual and worldly in how they live their private life. They might have an air of religiosity, but their lifestyle doesn't comport with what they say they believe. Jude says that wolves will creep in unnoticed. You're not just going to see them walk through the door one day. Oh, that's a wolf. No, they actually creep in unnoticed. Jude says that a wolf relies on their experiences instead of God's word. Jude says that a wolf is greedy for money. Jude says that a wolf is unstable. Jude says that a wolf is a grumbler and malcontent. And Jude says that a wolf creates division. Paul says, pay careful attention. Know one thing for sure, wolves, fierce wolves will come into churches. And fierce wolves will be born in churches. Friends, that's why we're even studying systematic theology at all. How can I protect, as an overseer and a guardian in our church, to teach you the doctrines of God's word, such that when the wolf comes, you recognize them? Doctrine is so important. Now, you know what's interesting about these verses is that Paul was right. He says, after my departure, fierce wolves will come in. Did you know that when Paul wrote his letter to the Ephesian church, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, he says this, listen, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. Exactly what Paul said was going to happen, happened. Fierce wolves came into Ephesus and they tried to lead the people astray. And Paul writes this letter and says, no, they are the sons of disobedience. Do not partner with them. But what happened to the church in Ephesus? Did they heed this warning of Paul? Yes. Paul, or rather John, writes in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2, a letter to the church at Ephesus. Listen to what he says. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. They recognized it. They did it. Now, they had left their first love. They had a different problem. The church in Ephesus had a different problem. But not with false teachers. They recognized the false teachers. They heeded this warning in Miletus that Paul gave them. They tested those who claimed to be apostles and found that they were false. And so God has given pastors as protectors, as guardians. When Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders, it's not because it's a power trip. It's serious doctrinal business. That's why there in Hebrews 13, he says that pastors, elders, overseers are watching for your souls. I was asked an interesting question at youth group last Monday night. Can you sell your soul to the devil? Every youth group, we have a question and answer time where I say, ask any question you want about the Bible. And that was the question, can you sell your soul to the devil? And I said, no, because you don't control your soul, and neither does the devil. The devil has no power over your soul. You can say to the devil that you sell him your soul, but you can't manipulate your soul, and neither can the devil. The devil cannot procure ownership of your soul. Who controls the soul? We are to fear the one who can cast both body and soul into hell. And so though you cannot sell your soul, you can certainly turn away from the living God into false teaching such that God will send your soul to an eternity in hell. And so Hebrews 13 says, obey your leaders, for they watch for your souls. But there's a third and final way, friends, to watch out for wolves. Verse 31. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. And so the third way to watch out for wolves is this: be alert. Be alert. What does that mean? What does that look like? It means be on your guard. If you are not on your guard, that wolves are going to come from the outside in and from the inside up, they'll take you. Be alert. Now, does that mean you need to be skeptical of people? Yeah. Yes. Christians are some of the most skeptical people in the world. That's a good thing. It can be a bad thing. Now, what I don't mean is when someone walks in the door for the first time and you shake their hand, you go, wait, oh, now I'm not so sure about you. No, but there should be a certain amount of healthy skepticism. Now, if you meet them and they're living for the Lord and they're teaching the things of the Lord, great. But it's when you hear or when you notice sin or you hear something that's off, we need to be faithful, not just to stand back and be a skeptic and gossip about them, but to go to them and ask them about it. To be faithful to try to restore our brothers and sisters in Christ. To be faithful to challenge wrong teaching or false doctrine. To be faithful when we see these red flags, to talk to the person. Not to run to your friend and tell them about it, but to go to that person and to talk to them. Friends, to be alert means to assume that when you see the signs of a false teacher, that is a false teacher. Question them further. Talk to pastoral leadership. Be faithful to rebuke. But the only way that you are going to be alert is to know the Word of God. Do you know the Word of God? That means you have to be in church where the Word of God is being taught. It means you need to study the Word in your private time. We offer as much as we can in the way of the teaching of God's Word here. Come to it. Dig in. Spend more and more and more time in your private life reading and studying God's Word. Know it. That's how you can be alert. Spend time with your church family. Spend time with other Christians. You know, Christians often tend toward conspiracy theories because we're skeptical. We believe in evil. We actually believe that the world is evil, that it's not inherently good. And that's why I think Christians tend toward conspiracy theories, and sometimes they're correct. But folks, sometimes some Christians want to be a little too trusting. A little too trusting of people. And so someone comes in and you meet them and they start to tell you some stuff that's a little off. Just a little off kilter on what the Word of God says. And well, you just want to trust them, so you just want to listen and not challenge it. Maybe it's a little too uncomfortable to challenge it. But what does Paul say there in verse 31? Remember how I warned you night and day with tears. Remember my tears. Would you remember Paul's tears? Paul says, I gave it my all. Would you warn like that? And would you desire that you would be warned like that? Friends, I take the Word of God and the doctrine of God's Word deadly seriously. Would that be your desire too? Your heartbeat? Some of those tears, I'm sure, that Paul cried were for those in Ephesus who didn't know Christ as their Savior, who he pled with to come to Christ. There was a young man a few years ago who came into our church. He was very enthusiastic about being in church and studying the things of the Lord, and it appeared that he began to grow. And then he began to go meet with a Catholic priest. He began to have regular meetings with the Catholic priest, and he began to challenge me on doctrines of God's Word. And one evening we were sitting talking about the doctrine of Catholicism, and I was pleading with him to go straight to their doctrinal statement that's published online and to read it. And he looked at me and he said, "Sola Scriptura is wrong. Scripture alone, it's wrong. Church tradition is right on the same level as Scripture." And he left. I said, "That's false teaching. Not to win an argument, to save a soul." I don't know if there's someone here today who's never been in church. Maybe you've been in church your whole life, but you've not given your life to Christ. Maybe you've been taught false teaching in a false church. My plea to you, my invitation to you this morning is come to Jesus. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is God, the very God. Jesus came to this earth as a man. Jesus took our penalty for sin and died on a cross for you and me. Jesus rose from the dead. And friend, whatever your background, if you would repent of your sin and trust in Jesus alone, you can be saved. If you trust in your baptism, you will not be saved. Your baptism doesn't save you. We're about to have the Lord's Supper, and if you trust in communion, it will not save you. It will not contribute in any way in saving grace to your justification. It is Jesus alone. And I would plead with you that you would believe in Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Friends, if you don't, I will not have blood on my hands. And so, friends, the simple message is watch out for wolves. Watch out for wolves by teaching and loving the whole truth, even when it offends you. By paying careful attention to yourself and to the body, your brothers and sisters. You're responsible for them. And by being alert and watchful and awake enough to spot a wolf. And by God's grace, your blood will not be on my hands, and none of the blood of your brothers and sisters will be on yours. And so I leave you with this. The words of Paul to the church in Corinth in his second letter, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." Friends, may we all watch out for wolves. Let us pray. Our Father, it is a hard warning. It's not a joyful text to look at this morning. And yet we rejoice that we have this warning. And oh, Father, I pray that this church, that none of us would be lazy in the things of the Lord. Because the wolves will take us. God, help us to love all of your truth. Help us to pay such close attention to ourselves and our brothers and sisters, to be faithful to watch out for our brothers and sisters, and help us to be alert and in the things of the Lord. Just as we saw in Revelation chapter 2, that the church in Ephesus indeed was. And so as we go into our time of communion, proclaiming your death until you come, may your death for us not be in vain. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.